I think what I'm going to share is going to align with what Jason was sharing pretty good. Let's go back to Galatians 5. Last week and I shared, I finished off in verse 13, and we're going to just look at verse 14, which Jason touched on, 15 and 16, but mainly verse 16. So Galatians 4, verse 14, as Jason shared, it says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And just quickly, I think Jason already explained well the promise we have, and that the law is fulfilled in walking in love, that the new covenant life, that walking in the power of the Holy Spirit will manifest itself in love, and it will be a fulfillment of all that God wanted from the law. And the next verse where it talks about biting and devouring one another, I just, as I read that, just quickly thinking about it, and in the theme of the whole letter, it's a warning, and I believe it's a warning of getting off of the fruit of love and getting off of walking in Spirit and walking in faith and ending up back in legalism. This is the righteousness of works produces a bite in devouring one another. And what does that look like? That looks like all of a sudden, instead of walking in the love that Jason's talking about, you're somehow ending up in a righteousness that is based on rules and regulations and pride, and all of a sudden you're looking down on others. All of a sudden there's other brothers and sisters in the church not walking exactly as you feel convicted to walk, or as are the rules that you're set on following, and all of a sudden your heart is hostile with them. There's the fruit of the flesh is coming, the factions, the divisions, the strife are coming, and all of a sudden there's a biting and devouring. You can consume one another. And Paul is saying this right after he says, because the Galatians, as we know, were struggling with coming back under the law. So Paul says, hey, guys, the law is fulfilled in love. And then he warns them. He says, take care you don't bite and consume one another, because he's warning them. This is the contrast. If you think you've got a gospel that is somehow better than what I'm sharing with you, but watch out, because if the fruit is this division, this strife, this biting and consuming one another, take heed and watch out, because you're going to consume one another and you're going to be destroyed by this legalism. And it's just a contrast to the fruit of the Spirit and to the fruit of love that was mentioned the verse before. Then it says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And to me, that is an incredible verse. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We're not going to get to it today, but you can read down in verses 20 to 21, the fruits of the flesh. And I think any of us who are honest with ourselves can attest to the power of the flesh, how deeply rooted this flesh can be, how deeply rooted these habits, this pattern of living that we've all lived in before we came to Christ, how deeply rooted this can be, and how impossible in our own strength. I don't know if anybody's ever sort of seen something in their life and come to a place of total failure in striving and self-effort to overcome something that you're bound by. And it's impossible without Christ, without the Holy Spirit. It is so impossible to overcome these works of the flesh. You can try and do your best, and other religions can try and say they've got some sort of answer to this, but I can testify, and I know it for a fact. It will not overcome the works of the flesh. Apart from the Spirit, the works of the flesh will not be dealt with. You can cut it off in one area and it'll bounce up in another area. And what it says here, though, is that if we walk in the Spirit, it's like a promise. If we walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And I'm like, okay, I want to walk by the Spirit, because I do not want to walk. I want to walk less and less and walk in freedom from these works of the flesh listed. I'm not going to go through them, but I can find myself in a number of those and say, I don't want to walk there anymore. By the grace of God, he's bringing me out, and I do not want to walk there anymore. So how do I walk in the Spirit? How do we walk in the Spirit? Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Jason touched on here as well, but I'm going to go a little further. And it says in verse 4, it says that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here it is, walking according to the Spirit. It says, for those who are according to the flesh, in verse 5, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So here is the start to the path to victory. It's very clear. It starts in the mind. You want victory over the flesh. We want freedom from the flesh. It starts in the mind, and it starts with having the victory comes from the mind of the Spirit. And I just want to, this may be obvious to many or obvious to all, but I just want to say, like, when we talk about being walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, I've had different seasons in my walk where that to me was a what should I do question. Walk in the Spirit, be led of the Spirit. What should I do? I come to a decision. And it is good to seek the Lord's counsel and pray about decisions. But walking and being led in the Spirit, it's not about going through your day and every little decision. What is the Spirit saying? Okay, I got to be led by the Spirit. What do I do here? 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 I'm telling you, that does not produce freedom from the flesh. It's like I said, I'm not opposed to seeking the Lord's counsel and even tossing up a prayer and asking the Lord to help us as we have decisions to make through our day. But I'm telling you, if that's what you think walking in the Spirit, led of the Spirit is, you're a little off track, because the answer is in having a renewed mind, in having a mind filled with life and peace, and having the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the flesh. And what does that come with? That comes from a mind that is renewed, that comes from a mind that is encouraged and being led of the Spirit to watch out for not the little decisions as we make throughout our day, should I not? It comes from the Holy Spirit saying and being on guard and saying, okay, watch out now. That anger rising up in you, watch out. Watch out, because that's going to ensnare you. Now is the time to be alert. Not do I, don't I, but be alert. That's jealousy. Watch out. That's a little bit of jealousy coming here. And I want to help you. What is the Holy Spirit called in John? I believe it is chapter 14 or 15. He's called our helper. What do we need a helper? And if we're really honest in ourselves, I mean, I'd love to have the Holy Spirit walk me through my day and say, okay, do this, do that. Don't go here, do go there. It's kind of like a little law you could almost have, but the Holy Spirit comes and perfectly administrates it and tells you to, this is exactly how you got to go. But that's ultimately not what I need. I need a helper that is going to help me to overcome the works of the flesh, to overcome strife, jealousy, enmity, lust. That's where I need help. And how is it going to help me? Well, I can tell you through personal experience, the Holy Spirit is our helper, because he comes at the moment of challenge, at the moment of crisis, where the flesh is trying to rise up, where I've all of a sudden felt a little anger come up in my heart, where maybe I've stumbled, maybe I've uttered, as Jason shared, maybe there's something we've said that has brought us and we now regret saying it, or maybe there's a place where there's some strife or enmity between you, somebody, there's some hostility. The Holy Spirit comes to me and says, do you want to stay here? Do you want to sit? Do you want to stay in this place? Do you want to stay bound by the flesh? Do you want to get stuck here? Or do you want me to help you? Do you want me to help you now? Do you want me to help you overcome? That's the Holy Spirit. That's listening and walking and being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and says, let me help you. Humble yourself. And I'm telling you, if you have experienced and honest with yourself, I can say it by fact. I've been in situations where I am like, this is impossible. There is no way my heart can change right now. I am so upset, so discouraged, or so bound by some thing of the flesh. But the Holy Spirit comes and says, you're not going to do it. I am here to help you. All I ask is humble yourself and believe, and you will get victory over the flesh. You will not walk in the flesh. You will walk in the freedom of the Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. In some small sense, I know you could go far further and far deeper with this, but I'm just trying to give some practical sort of truths that the Lord has shown me in walking them out. This is walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. And walking in the Spirit is primarily a battle in the mind. And it's having the Holy Spirit help us, to renew us, to show us this is the path to victory. Don't stay here. Don't go down this path of anger. Don't go down this path of resentment. Don't go down this path of bitterness. And the Holy Spirit speaks in a small voice and warns us with a little prick. And we learn to hear it more and more as we walk. This is how the fruit comes. As we're walking this walk, as we're learning and maturing in our faith, we learn to hear more and more the Holy Spirit saying, not go here, go there. He can say that. We know it through the testimony of Scripture. It says that. He gave instruction to certain brothers and sisters in different ways. But primarily, it's a daily walk of having our minds renewed. And it says, life, the mind of the Spirit, the mindset on the Spirit is life and it is peace. So we're walking through our days and we sense, man, I'm struggling here. I'm not at peace. And we can just then call out to our helper and say, Holy Spirit, help me. And it doesn't often come for me immediately with an answer. Okay, well, is it right here? Do this, do that, and you'll get back to peace. It starts with just humbling ourselves and saying, Holy, I need help, Lord. Holy Spirit, I need grace. Jesus, I need grace. I need you to help me now that I can get back into walking in the Spirit, walking in faith, walking in freedom from the works of the flesh. And through that, through the renewing of our mind and through calling out and asking, all of a sudden the life and the peace can come back. And we're walking, and I can testify, and I think probably virtually every one of us here who knows the Lord can testify, when we're walking with a renewed mind, when we're walking in the Spirit, the life and the peace is there. It's tangible. It's not a doctrinal thing. It's not a theoretical thing. It's an experienced reality in our heart. And when we're walking in that place, the fruit is good. When we're walking in that place, we're not being overcome by the flesh. And it says here that the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. And I just want to share a little bit more about this walking in the Spirit, because I think there's another testimony here in verse 15. It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. So what else can we say about walking in the Spirit? Well, we can tell you what it's not. Walking in the Spirit is not a spirit of slavery, which is the law, a spirit of do's and don'ts, a spirit of bondage. And it's not a spirit that leads us into fear. So the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit is walking in freedom from fear. And I think all of us can testify that we want to continue to grow in that area, to continue to grow. There can be tangible fears of different things, of different events or different circumstances. But for all of us, I think we can honestly say, well, what is the root of anxiety? What is the root of having a troubled heart? Oftentimes it's because we're afraid of something, or there's some deep grounded unbelief or something there that's trying to bring us into fear. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us out of that. It wants to bring us to a place where we're free from fear. And how do we get there? It says, you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I shared a lot about this a previous Sunday, but I think they tie again. This is walking in the Spirit. This ties to with how we overcome the flesh. And how do we overcome the flesh? We overcome the flesh because we have an assurance, as Jason shared. We have an assurance of God's love for us, that he's our heavenly Father, and that he loves us, and that we're his children. And that assurance brings us to victory over fear. And it can seem, you can twist this, because it has been twisted to say you can walk in the deeds of the flesh, which we read in Galatians 5, and you're still in a good place with God. You're still just resting, you're a son or a daughter, even though you're practicing all the deeds of the flesh. That's not what I'm advocating at all. But I am advocating the Holy Spirit coming to us in the midst of struggle, in the midst of the battle, where we see our weakness, where we see our failings, and where we see the flesh wanting to overtake us and feeling like we're powerless against the works of the flesh to overcome them. The Holy Spirit can come to us and say, remember, I love you. You're a child of God. Call upon my name and you will be set free. Your mind can be renewed and you can overcome now. But it doesn't come through striving and felt self-effort. It comes through walking in the Spirit, which it says is believing, is trusting in him, having our minds renewed. And it's like, I don't know how best to explain it, but I think as we grow in it and walk in it, it's not, oftentimes the works of the flesh can come. And I've learned from just my oftentimes it's not a direct, okay, I'm feeling tempted in this way, I'm going to resist hard directly against that. It's no, it's I'm going to humble myself, ask for grace, and the Holy Spirit shifts my mind. It takes my mind off of where it's focused and sets it on things above. It sets it, the mind of the Spirit is set on things above. And what wonderful things, what is things above? Well, what are some of the core things that are above? That our Heavenly Father loves us, that He sent His Son to die for us, that He gave His very best. It says later in Romans chapter 8, how shall he who gave Jesus Christ, who gave everything, withhold anything from us? This is the mind of the Spirit that says, my Heavenly Father sent His most prized possession to die on my behalf, that I could come to know Him and walk in the Spirit and have the life of freedom. He will help me overcome in this battle I'm in now. He will withhold nothing that would help me. And this is how, just one example of how our mind can get renewed, by dwelling on how much He loves us, allowing the Spirit to remind us that we're sons and daughters who are loved by a Heavenly Father. And these are the things that I've found when I'm in the midst of the battle that I need. I need to remember. And this is how the Holy Spirit, some examples of how the Holy Spirit renews my mind. And I can walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is a life of obedience. It is a life of bearing fruit. And it is a life of taking heed to what the Lord wants us to do. But it starts, the foundation of it is in the mind. It's having a renewed mind. It's having a mind that believes, that is free from fear, that hopes and trusts in the salvation of God. And that's where the life of the Spirit walks, and that, or it starts. And that's where it means to walk in the Spirit. And like I said, it's not the place where I've been in my life of do I, don't I, should I go here, should I go there, and looking for, like, we want the Holy Spirit to just be some daily instructor to tell us how to order exactly our days. I mean, that can be good, but there's far, far more than that. And the fundamental truth is that it's a renewing of the mind that brings us to freedom and allows us to walk in, to bear the fruit that Jason was talking about. It's like a choice. I just want to go back to that example again because it's so real to me. It's like a choice when we're in the midst of the battle and we have a battle that, where the bad fruit wants to come, the fruit of the flesh wants to come. For me, the Holy Spirit is a helper, and He says, no, you can choose right now. You can choose right now. I know our Father knows everything that's to renew your mind. You can choose now to humble yourself and to begin to have a mind that is transformed, and then the fruit will follow. Then the grace comes and the walk begins and the fruit follows and the works of flesh fall off, and we can begin to walk with that mind of life and peace and freedom and fruit again. And that's where it comes. That's walking in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And that's a tremendous promise.